Montcalm was most pleasantly impressed by this unexpected thoughtfulness. Since yesterday, and perhaps before, he had a clear idea that the capacity and calling of this young man to rival others for office in the House went further than perhaps even he himself suspected, further than to the office and person of Amenemouia the reader, and much further still. Thus he was pleased with Joseph's delicacy, quite apart from the fact that he belonged to those Reuben natures which find their joy and the dignity of their souls in being fair and just. In other words, take pleasure in reconciling their own view with those of the higher powers, even if that involve their own dismissal. Montcalm was this kind of man, and acted accordingly, perhaps because he was not quite well, and often troubled with his kidneys. But I repeat that Joseph's tact gratified him. What he said was, "You are full of consideration in your relations with men. But let Amenemouia's honor and promotion be his affair and mine, for such consideration is but another name for meddlesomeness. You hear?" "Has the Most Exalted commanded it?" "What the overseer commands is a command. And what did I command this minute?" "To go and cleanse myself." "Then do it." Joseph bowed low and retreated backwards. "Osarsif," said the steward in a gentler voice, and Joseph returned. Montcalm put his hand on his shoulder. "Do you love the master?" he asked, and his small eyes, with the large tear ducts beneath them, looked searchingly into Joseph's face. The question was strangely moving, and fraught with memories familiar to Joseph's thoughts since childhood. Just so had Jacob asked, drawing his favorite to his knee. With just such painful searching had the brown eyes with the pouches beneath them looked into the face of the child. Involuntarily he answered in the formula which is the right reply to this ever-recurring question, and the giving of which did no offense to its inner nature, "With my whole soul, with my whole heart, with my whole mind." The steward nodded his satisfaction, just as Jacob had done. "That is right," said he. "He is good and great. Yesterday in the date orchard you spoke commendably before him, as not everybody could have done. I saw well that you can do more than say good night. There were errors in it, as when you spoke of a virgin birth, only for that it occurred in the sign of the virgin, but one may forgive the errors of youth. The gods gave you subtle thoughts, and loosened your tongue to utter them, so that they wreathe and wind as in a dance. The master had his good pleasure therein, and you are to stand behind his chair. But also you shall be with me in my comings and goings, as my pupil and apprentice, that you may gain insight in house and court and field, the business and supplies, and shall in time be my assistant, for I have much trouble in the world, and very often am not too well. Are you satisfied?" "If I am certain to take no one's place behind the master's chair and at your side," Joseph said, "then truly am I glad and thankful, if also not without a slight timidity. For between ourselves, who am I, and what can I do? My father, who was king of his flocks, had me taught to write and speak, but in otherwise I might anoint myself with the oil of gladness. And I know no trade, neither cobbling, nor paper-making, nor pot-throwing. How, then, shall I dare to go amongst those who sit and know their task, one this, the other that, and I take upon myself the overseeing of them?" "Think you that I can make shoes and paper?" asked Montcalm. "Or pots, or chairs, and coffins. It is not needful, nor would anyone ask it, least of all those who can, for I am of different birth from theirs, and from another stock, with a head for the general, and thus I have become overseer. The workmen in their shops inquire not what you can do, but rather who you are. That is another sort of ability, and made for overseeing. Who can speak before the Lord as you can do, and rhyme your subtle thoughts to subtle words, shall not sit stooped over detail, but walk abroad at my side. For in the word, and not in the hand, is command and oversight. Have you something to object or carp at in my opinions?" "No, great steward. I agree and am grateful." That is the word, O Sarsif, and it shall be a word between me and you, the old man and the young, that we shall understand each other in our service and in our love of our master, the noble Petipray, Pharaoh's captain of the guard, and make a pact between us for his service, which each shall hold to the end of his life, so the death of the elder shall not dissolve the bond, but the other shall keep it over his grave as his successor and son, who protects and justifies his father in that he protects and justifies the noble master in bond with the dead. Can you see that? And does it please you? Or does it seem fanciful and strange?
By no means, my master and overseer, Joseph replied. Your words are after my mind and understanding. For long have I understood such a bond, which one makes with the master as with one another in his service, and I could not tell what were more familiar in mine eyes and less strange. By my father's head and Pharaoh's life, I am yours.
He who had bought him kept still one hand upon the lad's shoulder, and now with his other took both of Joseph's in his. Good, said he. Good, O Sarsif. Go then and cleanse yourself for the personal and the reading service of the master. But when he is done with you, come to me, that I may teach you to know the economy of the house and to oversee it. Chapter 5. The Man of the Blessing. Joseph is reader and body servant.